continue speaking on the matter of life lessons. And as you know, 2 weeks ago we started the life lessons on the matter of salvation and spoke on the assurance of salvation. And I just want to take a brief moment, a few minutes, to give a recap, since it's been 2 weeks, on the assurance of salvation. And as you remember, the salvation, the assurance of salvation, is a solid foundation for our Christian life.
Amen.
For going on in our Christian life.
Yeah.
You know, to get into the deep experiences of our Christian life, we need to be assured that we're saved.
Amen.
And so some items associated with that is that we have the Word of God.
Yes.
That says we're saved.
Amen.
It says that if we believe in our hearts and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you're saved.
Amen.
Also, if you call upon the name of the Lord, as Paul did, you know, in his salvation, he said, "Lord, who are you?" Then you're saved.
Yeah.
We have the Lord's Word.
Amen.
And then we also have the Spirit within.
Yes.
That the Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we're also saved, that we are children of God.
Amen.
And we're like God. We have His life.
Yes.
We have His nature.
Yes.
We're His species.
Yes.
So outwardly, we have the Word. Inwardly, we have the Spirit that confirms His Word.
Yes.
The deep within, it speaks to us,
yeah,
right, that we are saved.
Amen.
And we have the experiences of life as well.
Yes.
You know, there was a time where you can just do whatever you wanted. You had no feeling. But now that you're saved, oh, the Lord has a feeling.
Yeah.
We have a feeling within,
yeah,
of life,
yeah,
that the Lord says, no, don't do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that too is an assurance,
yes,
you're saved. And finally, is that we love the brothers.
Right.
We love the saints,
yes,
right? It's because we love the Lord and we love the saints. We love being in the meetings. We love praying with one another that we have this assurance of salvation.
Amen.
Now, suppose you have a large amount of money in the bank, right? Very wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And you're assured that money is in the bank.
Yeah.
Because you can go online, you can put in your bank account, your password, your ID. You can see that the money's there,
mm-hmm,
right? That's the assurance is there. But suppose someone hacked into the system. You got your ID stolen. They got in there and they took everything. All the money is gone. So one day you were assured that it was there, but now it's gone. The next day it's gone. Well, is this like our salvation? Maybe you would think one day you're saved, next day something happens. It's stolen. It's taken away. Well, I want to say boldly, no, you cannot lose your salvation, right? We have this fact that our salvation is irreversible.
Right.
It's irrevocable.
Right.
You can't lose it. And we're going to see these items associated with the security of our salvation. We have that security that no one can get in there and take it away.
Right.
Right. So the first part here says it's according to God's plan, God's purpose,
right,
and desire.
Right.
It's His desire. It's His plan.
Mm-hmm.
In John 15, He says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you."
Wow.
So in eternity past, God had a desire, has a plan, to have a counterpart, to have something, someone to express Him. That He would, just like a Shulamite is the counterpart of Solomon. He wants a Shulamite. And based upon His desire, upon His plan, He made man and chose man that man would be that counterpart, would be his expression. So he made man in his image according to his likeness. And he made man with a spirit so that man would receive God's salvation. And so it is in this plan that we have the security of salvation, because God does not intend to change his plan.
Right.
He still wants a counterpart.
Right.
And he needs man to be saved in order to accomplish his salvation.
Right.
So, you know, in Ecclesiastes 3:14, it says that I know that whatever God does, it will be forever. And nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken away from it. So, as far as God's plan is concerned, it is forever.
Amen.
He intends to carry out this plan.
Right.
And we are a part of this plan.
Right.
God chose us in eternity past, that we would be a part of his plan, and so he chose us before the foundation of the world to be saved.
Amen.
Why don't we read all together Ephesians 1, 4 through 5.
Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, to be holy and without blemish before him in love, predestinating us unto sonship through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
According to the good pleasure of his will, that he predestinated us unto sonship, that we would be his sons, have his expression, to have his very life and nature.
Amen.
And once we are sons, it's irreversible.
Right.
You can't not be a son.
Right.
Right? You can't undo it. Well, I no longer want to be the son of my father. Something, you know, no. I was born, right?
Yes.
And Nicodemus asked this question. How can you go back into your mother's womb and be born again? We can't. Spiritually speaking, it cannot be undone as well.
Yeah.
We are sons of God.
Right.
In Romans 8:29-30, because those whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers.
Yes.
And those whom he predestinated, these he also called. Those whom he called, these he also justified. Those whom he justified, these he also glorified. So the beginning of this process that the Lord has put us in, the beginning is our salvation.
Yes.
So the Lord intended that we would be saved, but he intends for us to stay in this salvation until, what? Glorification.
Wow, man.
Which is the end of the process.
Right.
Right? So he intends that we would not be taken out of it. He would not abandon us.
Right. Amen.
Our salvation. So we have the security that we are saved and we continue in the salvation until glorification.
Amen.
Where we will express God to the fullest.
Amen.
Okay, let's go on to the next point. Salvation based upon God's nature and God's person.
Wow.
God's love and grace are eternal.
Amen.
I mean, his love is unconditional. His love is not temporary.
Mm-hmm.
Unconditional. And he loved us, again, before the foundation of the world. And he intended that this love would be bestowed upon us. So in time, this love was manifested to us as grace, as a grace of Christ. Before, we didn't think about God. We didn't care for God. We did things apart from God. But grace reached us.
Amen.
The gospel was spoken to us.
Yeah.
And something of Christ was imparted into us.
Amen.
So that we saw something of Christ and we believed into him. The element of faith got infused into us. And now we believe in the Lord and we receive his salvation. Actually, that's the receiving of God's love. That in eternity past, God saw us.
Wow.
And he said, I love that one. I intend to dispense my grace to that one.
Amen.
And so that's what he did.
Yes.
And his love is eternal. It's eternal. He loved us in eternity past. He bestows his love upon us now. And we will have God's love for eternity.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I want to read this verse. It's not on your sheet. It's Romans 8, 38 through 9. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Cannot separate us. The love is God's love is eternal. Okay, and let's go on. God's righteousness. So not only we see the security of our salvation in God's love and grace, but also his righteousness. It says in Psalms 89:14, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. The foundation of God's throne is righteousness. Righteousness is to do right. And justice is righteousness with judgment.
Wow.
So not only is God righteous, but his judgments are righteous.
Yes.
So let's go back to the bank of which our money was stolen. They finally found this one who stole the money, right? They called him. He's before a judge. And this one, the judge now has to execute the judgment upon the robber. And based upon the law, the judge needs to judge righteously that this one should be go to prison. This one should bear the judgment of stealing.
Yeah.
Right? So it doesn't matter if the judge loves this one, though. Is bound by the law to judge it, this one righteously.
Yeah.
Suppose the judge knows this person for some reason, right? Really loves this person. It's not based upon the judge's love, though. It's right. Based upon the judge's righteousness.
Wow.
Right?
Right.
So this is the Lord's dilemma, that he made man for man's purpose, that man would express him, but man ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Man became corrupted, received the element of Satan in him, and he's no longer useful for God's purpose. God righteously has to now judge man. Right? And so, according to God's law, where transgression of the law is, death must take place. For the wages of sin is death.
Mm-hmm.
According to God's righteousness,
wow,
man doesn't have life. He has to judge him righteously. So what is God to do? Well, the Lord became a man himself. And he lived a sinless life. So that his death on the cross and the shedding of his blood, that death was a substitute for us. And he paid the price for our sins and transgressions.
Mm-hmm.
So that now, his substitution, when the Lord looks at us, looks at our sins, he passes over our sins because the price has now been paid.
Yes.
His death is a substitute for our death. And it is an acceptable death.
Right.
Right? So, let's read, let me go back to 1 John 4:10. Herein is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a propitiation for our sins.
Amen.
Right? And then Romans 3:25-26. Let's read that all together.
Whom God set forth as a propitiation place through faith in our Lord,
for the demonstrating of his righteousness,
in that in his forbearance God passed over his sins that had previously occurred, with a view to the demonstrating of his righteousness in the present time, so that he might be righteous and the one who justifies him, who is of the faith of Jesus.
Amen. So this is such a powerful verse showing our security in salvation, that actually our salvation shows forth God's righteousness.
Amen.
Because Christ has paid the price.
Amen.
For our sins. Amen. You know, it's just like going into Costco and you get some items, you plan to make them, you get some items, you purchase it, you pay for it, and you're walking out, and there's an attendant right there and says, show me that that is yours. Right? And then you show them the receipt. This is mine. I paid for it. I purchased it.
Right.
Well, the blood of Christ shed on the cross is our receipt.
Amen.
The devil may come to you and lie to you and say, no, you're no good. What you did, look at what you did. Look at yourself. Your salvation is questionable, you know. But I have my receipt. The Lord died on the cross for me.
Yes.
Shed his blood for me.
Yes.
And the price has been paid.
Amen.
What a powerful security this is.
Amen.
That we have.
Yes.
We can just speak to the enemy.
That's right.
Right? You're a liar. Christ shed his blood for me.
Right.
Okay, and finally, we have God never changes and has promised. I really enjoyed the hymn that there, thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not.
Right.
Right. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Again, whatever God does, he does it forever.
Yeah.
He doesn't change. He still plans on us being a part of his expression.
Yes.
Being his counterpart.
Yes.
Being his reproduction.
Mm.
And our salvation really exposes the powerlessness of the enemy trying to counteract, to stop God from carrying out his eternal economy.
Amen.
You know, our salvation shows forth God's righteousness.
Yes.
And Hebrews 13:5, I shall by no means give you up. This is his promise.
Yes.
Give you up. Neither by any means shall I abandon you.
Amen.
And there are many verses like this. But by no means, under no circumstances whatsoever,
yes,
will he abandon us or give us up. And so we can boldly declare, as Paul did in 2 Timothy, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to guard my deposit unto that day.
Amen.
What is that day? Unto that day was the day of Christ's second coming.
Mm-hmm.
Paul is persuaded. I think we can boldly say this too.
Amen.
That we are persuaded, because death nor life nor principalities can separate us from the love of God.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the security of your salvation.
Amen.
So why don't we have some overflow and maybe take a minute or a minute and a half for that speaking.
Amen.
Hallelujah for the security of our salvation.
Yes.
I'm really impressed by the second point where it talks about God's love, his grace, and then his righteousness.
Yes.
His love is the source.
Yes.
Grace is the means, mm-hmm, but it is his righteousness that strikes it down.
Amen.
Because if he's not really... Because of his love, he really didn't have to do that.
Mm.
His grace, he didn't need to extend it. But it is because he is righteous. It is
That's
part
right.
of who he is that he has to operate. The example